You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. The following program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cane5.com.
Hi, everybody. You're tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money. Making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, with my co-host, Andrew, my son, Newman.
That's me.
Oh, good. Andrew's here. And we have our engineers on board, Jack Inslee, and the one and only Carlos. Hi, boys.
Yeah, Carlos. Carlos going out one name style. I like it.
Carlos is in the league with Madonna, Cher, and Prince. He's Carlos. Okay, we're here live every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. If you can't tune in while we're streaming, you can get any show, any episode that they're on the website, archived, and there's also podcasts available for downloading, and they're all free. So there's no reason not to listen to Flash Talks Cash and learn something each and every week. Today's show, we're going to talk about small biz news, because there's a lot of stuff going on stimulating the economy, and President Obama has been very busy trying to sell some Jobs Act and some stimulus to get the economy rolling. There is some pretty serious bad news out there, and first I want to start with more people. This was just released this week. More people are falling under the poverty level this year than in the past year. So people are getting poorer. $22,000 for a family of four. Below that is considered poverty, and more people are going there. No good. The jobs, Obama did pass one bill this month. It's called the Small Business Job Act 5. And that was done earlier this month. This is different than the American Jobs Act, which is out there pending. That's the one he just sold. He's trying to sell to Congress this week. So let's find out what's done deal so far, and then we'll see what's pending. Some of the highlights to affect the small business people. And Andrew and I are going to discuss whether we think this is actually going to be a help. Remember, this is all about stimulating the economy, so keep that in mind. If you're self-employed, and frankly, Andrew and I are small business people. Andrew is a freelancer. I have a small company. And a lot of our listeners are small business people. So there's lots to learn and lots to discuss today that's going to affect everybody. If you're self-employed and pay your own health insurance premiums, they're going to now allow you to deduct it against your business income and not have to pay the Social Security tax on it for the first time. A lot of people don't even realize they pay their medical premiums inside their business, and they think that it's a straight-up deduction. Well, the premiums you pay for yourself, whether you own the company through a corporation, S-corporation, or a sole proprietor or a partnership, you get to deduct it as a personal deduction, not as a business deduction. So you've been paying Social Security tax on that, and here you go. They now changed it and say you can deduct it as business income, at business expense, and pay less Social Security tax. That should save a nice piece of change to the owner of the company. If your premiums were, say, $10,000 a year and the Social Security tax is 15.3% because you pay both pieces.
Well, now wouldn't it be a little bit less? Or
it would be 7.65%.
So wait, if you own your own business, you don't get the Social Security break this year?
You will. That's what this is all about.
I mean, like, on employees, they're only paying 5.65%. They get a 2% break.
Yeah, that's true.
So are we paying...
Yeah, the owners get that too. So they're going to save some Social Security tax.
13.3%?
Then they're going to allow cell phones, a complete write-off of cell phones, as long as there's only a nominal amount of personal use. Before, it was if it was personal, it gets personal use and business use, you had to list it and deduct only the business portion of it. Now
that's
they're
crap.
Just, of course, now they're just saying, you know, just it's there's no way anybody could differentiate.
How do you prove that?
Right. So they finally succumbed to that. Though I got to tell you, I don't know very
many
people.
Wasn't everyone doing that anyway?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't know very many people that were actually just taking a portion
allocating
of this cell
crap.
Phone. Right. This is something that is good, but it really doesn't affect the majority of small businesses. The Section 179 deduction, which is if you go out and buy equipment in this year, you're allowed to deduct up to $250,000 straight off the top, as opposed to depreciating it over 5 years, 10 years, 7 years, 15 years, whatever. That has been increased now to $500,000. Now,
I got to tell you,
most of our clients and people that I deal with
don't
spend that kind
much.
Of. However, there was one very nice little thing that was listed here. It said the cost of improvements can also be deducted. And I read at it, yep, and it says leasehold, restaurant, and retail improvements can now be deducted. So it's not uncommon to build out a restaurant or a new shop or something and spend over $250,000. So now you get to write that off. So that's a good plus. There's a good plus there. The bonus depreciation, this is extra depreciation you get on new equipment. They increased it, so now you can take...
Well, wouldn't you 179 it anyway?
Well, no, there was two different things. So some things you get bonus and some things you get Section 179. I don't want to go too technical, but you get bonus depreciation this year on cars, light trucks, and vans, which does really appeal to a lot of small business people. So they get, because cars and light trucks have a very limited amount of depreciation they can write off every year. This is a good thing. And startup costs, if you start planning a new business and you're doing the, before you open, you spend all this money, they call startup costs. They had limited to $5,000 you can only write off, and now the limit is $10,000. So that's a good thing, because it's not uncommon to spend $5,000 or $10,000 before you actually open the doors to start deducting that. So they've increased that too. You can now, also, there's a lot of people who are older, who have lost their jobs, laid off, or have moved on, and they can now access their retirement accounts to launch a new business, and there's not the penalties associated with it. It's pretty technical, got to look into it, but it's out there now, so that 401k may be sitting there with a few shekels in there. You may be able to launch that new business you've been dreaming about, and if you're unemployed and you're 54, you might have no other choice, and that's the only source of capital you'll have. So those are good things that have passed. That's called the Small Business Job Act 5. Small Business Job Act, I'm sorry. and these are all good and applicable for 2010, so you only have a few more months to take advantage and put these into place. And, of course, most of them are for 2011. Now, Obama was on TV the other day, and he is proposing and pitching the American Jobs Act. And so this is what now everybody has to think about. And, of course, your congressman and everybody's supposed to vote for this. And you know how that could go. But this is a summary and highlights of what the Jobs Act is about. One of them, the major piece, is the payroll holidays. They want to, I can't see this, hold on. They want to cut the payroll tax, which is the Social Security tax, cut it in half. Right now, Social Security tax is 6.2%, and the employer pays that, and the employee pays that. They want to cut that for the employers down to 3.1, cut it in half. They feel that if they cut the payroll tax, that will stimulate the job
but
hires.
But that's Social Security, is it not?
Social Security tax, yes.
So they're going to offset that somehow?
What do you mean offset it? You mean,
well, if they're cutting it by 3.1%,
yes.
Where's that money going to come from? We're already running out of money in the
yes.
Social Security
well, that's
fund.
Another story. But if you got more people working, the theory is if you have 20% more people working, contributing at 3.1%.
Yeah, wait, how are you going to increase your workforce by 20% if you're only cutting
well,
your
I'm
costs
just
by 3.1%?
Using an example. I'm just using an example.
I don't think that's a much of a savings.
And this is only for new hires or increases in payroll. Okay, so there.
Wow, how are they going to disseminate that?
Well, that's the point. They're trying to come up with programs to stimulate new jobs, and so this is one of the ideas. Now, as an employer, it's a nice little perk if you're thinking of hiring somebody, and instead of paying, because paying that Social Security tax is onerous. You know, you're hiring people, you're paying them $50,000 a year, and then you got Social Security tax on top of it, which is another 7.5%. So they're cutting out half of the Social Security piece. And they're still keeping the Medicare piece intact. So you're paying 3.1 plus 1.45, which is now 4.75%.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, 3.1 plus 1.45 is 4.55%.
You need that calculator, huh?
Yeah, that calculator. So that's why I have you here, Andrew. So now 7.65 versus 4.55, that's a bit of a savings. That may be a little incentive to go out and hire.
That's 3%.
Okay, 3.1%.
That's not a lot.
Well, it's better than zero. So that's what they're first pitching, okay? That's the first one. Is it going to work? It's nice. It's not the whole Megillah. The next,
that's not like a 3% tax break, though.
Then they want to give a complete payroll tax holiday for new jobs or wage increases. Oh, by the way, the 3.1 was not on new jobs.
No.
That was on everything. Oh. Now this is a complete tax holiday.
That makes no sense.
Okay.
Because how are you going to hire new people and pay them more money if you're only getting it on new hires? Not
so now
hires.
New hires, you're going to get a complete tax holiday. So that's a nice thing.
How long is that for?
I don't know the deal. Let's see. Maybe for 2011. I'm not sure. I mean, for 2012, I have no idea. I don't have the interest.
So that's
information.
So fine, you're saving 7.5%, 7.65%.
Yeah, no, just the Social Security piece, not the Medicare.
So it's only
6.2%. 6.2%. Yeah.
How is that an incentive to hire someone?
They have to. What would you do, Drew?
Is that an incentive?
What would you do? You have to come
tax
up with
tax breaks, like large tax breaks for small businesses.
Well, 6.2% tax break is large.
But it's not on it's on a percentage of your income.
Correct.
It's not on.
Correct.
It's on a wage. You're
and
paying someone else.
And also, well,
you're increasing your expenses, and they're not going to charge you another 7.65% on top of that.
Yes.
So how is that a break? That's not an incentive to hire someone.
If you increase your expenses, the whole point of increasing your hiring payroll is so you can generate more revenue. So you're making more money.
But what if you don't generate more revenue?
Well, then why are you hiring somebody if you're not going to make
more
money?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I have a question. When you're looking to hire someone, you're not going to all of a sudden say, "Oh, I can't hire him because it's going to cost me an extra 6.2%."
But you do measure when you're going to hire somebody. I have more work if I hire somebody at $50,000.
But what's the 6.2%
going to
do?
It's going to just add a little more to the pot to sweeten it.
I don't think that's nearly an incentive enough. I don't think that's enough.
Well, that's Andrew's opinion. The president.
You really think that's enough?
I say it's a little bit. I said it's a little bit. It helps. That's what I said.
I
it
think
helps.
Overall tax cuts for everyone would be a better incentive.
Overall tax cuts
for a middle class, for small businesses. People, small business owners are usually in the middle class, under like $1 million a year. Tax breaks for those folks. Increase taxes on the higher people. People over $1 million.
Wow. No,
like $1 million? That's a nominal break.
How many people make $1 million? Very few.
1% of the country.
No, not even. Really, you're talking about rich people. Over $250,000, you're deemed rich. And that's, I think, 95% of the people make less than $250,000. So I don't know. I think your numbers are cockeyed here.
Also,
let's just go on to the plan. He's asking to help entrepreneurs and small businesses access capital and grow by changing the way government does business. This is a very interesting tact. I'm not sure it's going to work. We all know that dealing with the government is a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of red tape and a lot of paperwork. The study just came out this week that the government, when they hire consultants, they pay nearly twice what they would pay an employee to do the job. 1.83% more, 183% more, than if they were to hire an employee and pay that employee to do that same job. So doing these contracts with the government, they overpay. They often don't get what they should get from the consultant. So the working with the government can really backfire.
What is this other
well,
part
he's that trying to stimulate, do business with the government, make it a better and an easier process for the consultants.
For consultants.
Or, you know,
why don't
all the
stop hiring consultants.
Oh, you know, they're talking about people who, the contractors, okay? They're going to try to pass better patent laws because small businesses are put out way more patents than big businesses. I think that's a good thing. I don't know how complicated the patent laws are, so I don't have an opinion as to whether it's going to work or not. They want to put workers back. We're going to put workers back to work by generating infrastructure. And they've been doing that.
What does that mean?
Infrastructure, building railroads, building buildings, government buildings, improving the schools.
Okay.
So that's a way to get construction jobs back into the economy. And we all know, you learned this in history, during the Great Depression, they had the work program, WPA, where they built all these buildings and built all these dams. Well, no, that was in Depression in the 30s. And
they didn't come out of the Depression until World War II, really.
And then that was a way to stimulate the economy and get the economy going after the Depression, to get them out of the Depression. Listen, we're going to take a break for a minute. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the Jobs Act that Obama is proposing. Okay, we'll be right back.
Are we back on, Jack? Think twice.
Andrew, you know the money
I
get?
Day in Paradise, Joe.
You know,
that was
you know,
really nice.
I was thinking of my mom.
That was really nice.
I love you, Mom.
Let's go back to Obama.
Don't you love your son?
Yes, I do, but not on the radio right now.
Why
American
not?
Jobs Act. Can we continue our discussion?
Well,
because it's important.
I think it's a.
Well, you don't even know the rest of it.
What else is there? Give me the rest
I'm
of it, and I can tell you how
you.
I don't agree
I'm
going
to give
either.
It to you. So we talked about infrastructure, giving work.
But they're not going to approve the government spending. They're not
that is
approve
because when you hire construction workers and you buy supplies.
I understand the concept
that
of it.
Goes into the economy and they spend money and they support
the Republicans
other supporting
are not going to approve that.
We don't know yet. I don't know.
What
they
have
to
approved?
Do something. What are they going to do? Nothing? They have
That's,
to do something.
They want
to
do nothing, get Obama out, and then do something after he's gone.
That's
pretty much what the Republicans are doing.
There are also Democrats down there, so they have some sort of control, right?
One would assume, but okay. Apparently not.
Okay. There's also talk about putting an infrastructure bank, and this is to combine all the various federal agencies into one location so they can dole the money out instead of going to FEMA and going to HUD and going to all the other various agencies to apply for these programs. They're going to put a bank together, make a bank, a federal kind of bank, and spill the money from one place. I don't know how that's going to go. I think that's more bureaucracy.
That doesn't make sense.
Want to also put money into communities that have been hard hit by foreclosures. Communities that are hard hit by foreclosure are also hard hit by high unemployment, and these communities are beginning to fall into disrepair and blight, and so they need to start putting money into these communities and support these communities so they don't go there and and what? Help these people. Yeah, help with jobs programs and neighborhood building programs. What else can they do?
Well, can I go back to the other thing?
What's
with the
other
with
thing?
The centralized bank that you were speaking
yes,
about?
Yes, yes.
How is that going to work? Because right now, the money comes from one place anyway.
So well, like, but it's allocated to the various agencies.
I understand,
so
but it's
one
still
agency
be allocated
can't
the same
do
way.
Something that another agency is doing, and the other agency doesn't have control over this program, so the application goes to the wrong agency or
it's
split.
Happen anyway.
Well, someone's the bank says it's going to centralize it. They're going to centralize the program.
And then on top of that,
you're really a naysayer today.
Well, I just don't agree with this. It's just a waste of everyone's time.
No, I don't believe it's a waste.
I believe it is.
You have to
There's
try
a couple
some things.
In there, yes. A lot of things in there, no. Yeah. I just think the infrastructure spending, I agree with. I don't know what they're going to... I guess the infrastructure spending in the depressed neighborhoods makes sense as well.
Yes.
To create jobs and stuff
yes.
like that. Yes. Creating another level of government doesn't make sense. Giving people a 6% pay tax break after you hire someone does not make sense.
I think it makes sense.
I don't.
I think it helps. It doesn't cure it. It
does,
helps.
But if you don't have the money to pay the person in the first place, the extra 6.2% you're going to save on the other side isn't going to really... That's not going
to... It's going to help. The point
help.
Is, it'll probably go to the
here.
Owner. It'll probably
exactly.
get absorbed
gonna,
into other expenses. It's not going to ultimately hit the bottom line and save money to the consumer.
Yes.
Okay, I agree with that. However, it may just sweeten the pot a little bit and say, if you save that 6% and it's $1,000, they'll use that $1,000 to pay an insurance bill or an advertising bill.
I work with a
it
lot
all
of small
goes
businesses.
Back into the economy.
I work with a lot
economy.
Of small businesses, Joanne. And most people, when they hire someone, don't think about the payroll taxes.
Well, but it is
they
a consideration.
They think about, I got to pay this person $50,000. I'm paying them $50,000.
And then plus the payroll
but
taxes.
Most people don't think of it that
well,
way.
Well, I do. And I don't
well,
think
you do, but I think people out there don't.
I think that you don't think so, but I think there's other people that do. Can we just continue now? Because you're really stuck on that one. There's a couple of more items. I just want to bring it up. A couple of more items. There is putting people, Americans back. Oh, no, it says, I'm sorry. Back to work for Americans looking for jobs. And what it ultimately means is they want to extend unemployment even more. Do you know that it's up to 99 weeks? That's nearly 2 years. And now they're talking about putting unemployment even longer than 99 weeks. I think that's pretty scary. I have my opinion. I think that unemployment is a great program. It's a safety net. I think that 2 years is too long, and it becomes almost a welfare state when you stay on that long. If there's no unemployment, then people might be more motivated to go out and get a job and take any sort of job so they can put food on the table and pay their rent.
The Booth agrees.
The Booth agrees. So I think that unemployment is extension is a bad idea. I also have here, there's credits. These are good. Credits to employers, and Andrew can have a say on it, but I really believe credits are great things. Credits to employers for hiring very long-term unemployed people. Somebody who's been out of work for maybe 12 months or whatever the term is considered, you get a credit for hiring that person. Because there is a general opinion out there that you're better off hiring somebody who's employed than someone who's been unemployed. And somebody who's been unemployed for a very long time is the least desirable employee when you're looking for employees.
Well, wouldn't that be a favoritism thing?
It is. It's unfortunate, but it
well,
is.
Well, no, the other way then.
Well, now they're going to give you credits for hiring people who have been out of work for a period of time. And I don't know the period of time, but I'm going to just say for 12 months or more.
Well,
that's a credit.
What is that going to be part of the interview process then? How long have you been unemployed?
No, I don't know how
like,
that
that's
works.
That's just ridiculous.
But let me tell you, credits do work, I'll tell you. And there's another credit coming
that's
out.
That's like reverse...
Discrimination?
Yes.
Well, what happens is you might
that's
hire...
Like affirmative action. That's what I was thinking of. Affirmative action.
Well, you might hire
not
somebody...
Really.
When you
for unemployed people, man.
No.
You're like...
If
you're
you have
weighing,
a job, you don't really need a job as much as the person who doesn't have
but what
a
if you
job?
Don't like your job?
Oh, tough shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, can you do like a job transfer program?
Can we talk about what a credit does? A credit is money back to the employer. Back. Employers, businesses don't really ever get refunds. And this way, they would get a refund for the wages that they're paying the very long-term unemployed. There's also a credit, and this is very sad that we even have to do this, for hiring vets, unemployed vets, and hiring vets that have, injured vets, disabled vets. So, you know, they do these programs every once in a while. They did it years ago for welfare to work people who were on welfare. You hired them, you got a credit. prisoners, people, ex-cons, if you hire them, you get a credit. This is just more credits. Credits are wonderful things, and employers are often very excited about credits. It's hard to qualify to get the credits, but if you are, suppose you have, like, I don't know, a security company or a taxi cab company, you may be able to hire these kind of people and get these credits, and that really does help the economy, because then the cost of hiring these employees is far less. So a credit is a beautiful thing. It's very, very sad that we have veterans that can't find jobs, and we have disabled veterans that really are struggling.
A lot of people can't find jobs.
Yeah,
though.
Well, I think that having veterans are really, really very sad. So that's the summary of the Jobs Act as far as how it affects small business people. Andrew's feeling is the Republicans will never get this passed. However, it's probably going to get debated and negotiated.
The best part about the whole bill is spending money to create more jobs, which is what the government should be doing at this point, not contracting and cutting spending.
Yeah, well,
yes,
because that's the only way to actually create jobs. The rest of these things, you know how I feel, but
well, you can't
I just think like
pour money into the construction.
Well,
industry.
No, I'm not saying you should. There should be expansion. There should be new, you know, energy consumption projects, new solar panels, nuclear panels,
yes.
Nuclear
plants. But you know, he's tried that, and that hasn't gotten anywhere.
Well, he really has to try harder.
Okay,
he really does,
because
he's done nothing so far, and I'm just frustrated.
Well, a lot of people are frustrated. There's also money in the bill. I didn't talk about it, but I'm just going to just go over it. There's also money in the bill to make sure that teachers don't get laid off. There were 280,000 teachers on jobs on the line this year, and he wants to give money so no teachers get laid off, and to secure fire departments, firefighters and cops, so they don't get laid off, because they are very, very important. Especially as the country struggles, crime does usually increase. And if you have less police, crime will increase
so
even
we need
further.
To increase the spending and credits to businesses, sure, but like, no more tax cuts. Like, stop with the tax cuts. There's no point in cutting taxes. It's not increasing spending. You need to create spending through the government. Get us off our asses, because every state is broke, the federal government's broke, and cutting taxes is not going to generate more income, because, as you said, people are on unemployment for 2 years.
It's true. There's a school that thinks the poverty level is rising. It's rising.
Tax Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett's willing to pay.
But the point is, like, it's not making sense.
Okay, so you're the school where we got to pump the money into the
expansion is the only way to
and
get it out of a.
So if you're not in, but if we're not, if I'm not in the construction industry, how is the money going to get into?
Because more people have jobs. Say you're an accountant, they then go to their accountant.
Okay,
get an accountant.
But how about
they have money to go buy a new car, new clothes?
Yeah,
they can afford their mortgage.
But
instead
I
of us bailing them out.
I do believe in the construction. I don't think that's the only industry that should be.
Well, it trickles down then.
But
these people actually spend money.
Well, so does a lot of other companies pay. You know, hotels or whatever. But I just want to say that it has to be spread across the economy, across the employers. Yeah, well, you got
to
start somewhere. It's true. And they've been pumping the money. We see a lot of road work going on. You know, there's infrastructure going on. They're going to put more in. Listen, our infrastructure could use a lot of work. We also need to improve mass transit, and that's part of the program that is talking about the infrastructure, improving the trains, the buses, the airports, because they all could use a little bit of help, and all of that will help the economy. I do believe in credits. I do think that tax cuts for the employers may be enough of an initiative to get them to hire.
If there's no business out there, why are you going to expand?
There is business. So there's that's the deciding line.
If people are getting poorer, where's the money going
to
come from?
Well, hold on. Let me just say, it's not uncommon for a small business person to be up to their eyeballs in work, and they just are on the fence about hiring somebody. Is it worth it? Am I going to make more money, or am I going to spend more money? And so a little bit of an incentive from the government may push them off that fence and onto the place where they say, all right, I'm going to hire somebody and see if it's going to work for me, and I'm going to make more money. There's also, you know, those who say, I can't hire anybody. I just got to keep doing all this work myself. And that's not always the answer. That's not always the best way to go about your business. Okay, so we talked about the Jobs Act this week. We'd love to hear your comments and see where this goes. And hopefully the Democrats and Republicans can come to something in Washington and make a decision and make this work and help this country, because it needs help. And Obama needs help too. So this would be a big boost. All right, we'll be back next week and we'll talk about something else. We'll be right back.
is a message from Fork and Anger. Aaron Fitzpatrick, the host of our wine program, Unfiltered, is looking for help on Kickstarter to open Fork and Anger, a general store inspired by two food-loving ladies with an equal affection for urban life, the sea, and the agricultural paradise of Long Island's North Fork. The store is situated in a growing community of farmers and winemakers and will become a meeting place offering prepared foods, a variety of sun-dries, and a selection of homespun products, many of which will have their origins in New York State. Your backing will help them fulfill their dream of fostering relationships with the community and making the local food system accessible on a broader scale. Search Kickstarter.com for Fork and Anchor and donate today. The following is a message from the Climate Reality Project. Join us on September 14th to the 15th for 24 Hours of Reality, a presentation delivered in locations around the world, sponsored by former U.S. Vice President Al Gore. View the live stream at climaterealityproject.org. Go to our website, tell your friends, join our watch party, and help others learn about what can change in a day. Again, that's climaterealityproject.org.